That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Gosh, Andrea just fresh off a shift.
Fresh, yeah.
Ran here, ran home. It's one of those things where you're just like, and then you're like, I'm not going to make it home unless I get gas. Or like, I'll make it home on fumes. And then like tomorrow.
And then fuck myself. The next morning.
Because tomorrow morning I'm going to be running early. Late on my way to work. And then I'll like start my car and be like, motherfucker. So I just stopped at the Costco. getting you from that Costco card, Brooke. You know how she be.
I wish I can anyone go to Costco to get gas or do you have to have a card?
No, you have to have a card. And I just read that like Costco is like officially like really smacking down on like using someone else's card. I remember back in the day, like when I worked at Bagdad Tavern, Matt Fisher would just be like, here's my Costco card, like go get booze. You know what I mean? It's also not supposed to do. But like, and now I think they're going to have a thing for you to actually scan your card instead of like a greeter just being like, yeah, I see your card. Cool. You're going to actually have to scan.
And it's sort of like TSA, Costco TSA.
Costco TSA, for sure. Like you're going to have to scan your pass, your barcode to like be able to get through because they're saying that sometimes it gets missed and there's like people who show up with like full carts of groceries and then they get up and they're just like, this isn't your card. We're not going to let you use it. I know. Costco smacking down.
And you're sitting here going like, in this economy?
In this economy? Nice. I know. Like, I know.
It's like, of course, people are probably trying to sneak into Costco a little more than usual because we're hurting out here. It's not great. Wait, so let's back up to you.
Uh-huh.
Telling me that Matt Fisher would have you go to Costco and buy booze for the bar?
I think
we
or
just
it
short
wasn't me.
On delivery?
I mean, I think that's where he went to go get it. Or like, you know, I don't know if he sent me all the time necessarily or like he sent someone else to go get it. But yeah, it wasn't, you know, there was some shadiness happening. You never knew that? You'd never go down and there was like a cage. Should we beep out his name? It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Like there was like a cage in the basement and it was like there were like plastic bins in it. And then you would like they were kind of duct tape up and when you opened it, there was like handles of different kind of alcohol, specifically the ones that we like burned through.
That were Costco? Were they Costco brand? Is
yeah.
What you're
no,
saying?
No. They were still the same brand, but we would just refill the bottles because it was cheaper in the long run. I don't know if that's legal or illegal to do. Like we weren't like delegitimizing like the type of alcohol it was. We were just like, you know, there'd be like the bottle of Jameson that was upstairs. And when it ran low, we would go down and like fill it, like top it off with a handle downstairs.
Okay. Well, welcome to Sidework Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace. And, you know, maybe we'll have Brian go in and just kind of bleep out a name. Maybe, you know,
oh, if he already hasn't.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
That guy, if he hasn't canceled himself 100 times already,
who also,
I don't think this like, show is not going to do it.
That shit happened all the time. And at least it was, I mean, it's not like he was the only person
please,
that's ever gonna, fucking done that. Like,
We will now finally get some server submitted stories because everyone's going to be like, you think you are the only people who had a dirtbag boss?
Oh, and you will. Yeah. I mean, we talked. Yeah. Not even that. I don't even think that's dirtbag behavior. I mean, that's not dirtbag behavior. That's just like business owner
behavior.
That's
just a little, yeah, lifting up the curtain so you can see.
That's way better than people like replacing like Jameson with like the, what is it, the Skol brand? Skol, S-K-O-L. What was that like crazy brand that we used to get? Or just like the cheapest shit you could ever think of, you know? I think that there's way worse things that could happen.
The New Jersey TGI Fridays scandal called Operation Swill, while some of the booze was even comprised of river water. So no, at least we were just refilling.
From a non-distributor. Totally. It's just like you just top it off a ketchup bottle. You know, you just do it. You're marrying, if you will, the two together.
God.
Yeah. So
old school.
Super old school. I mean, that was just your job at the end of the night. You're just like, well, make sure all the bottles are tapped off, you know, make sure you got a spare one down there. So anyway,
I think one of my favorite things too is like the ongoing fun comments coming from that TGI Fridays post I made are people coming out of the woodwork saying, I fucking loved working there, but I fucking hated polishing all those goddamn brass rails.
Oh, I'm sure you had to get like the weirdest brass cleaner out. It was like probably a very specific TGA Fridays brand of brass cleaner.
Ugh. And at one location, I'll have to find out because I did find a picture of it. There was a 3-story phone booth that you could enter from a staircase upstairs, a mid-level. So there was like a winding staircase going around it. So it was like a multi-tiered TGI Fridays. And so you could call tables at certain TGI Fridays because they had phones on the table. And so basically this girl just commented like, oh my God, me, my brother, and my cousin would get into that third floor tier of the phone booth and prank call customers eating their dinner while our parents were getting wasted on cheap cocktails. And I was like, that's so 80s.
That
like
is children, so 80s and 90s. Like parents not paying attention because you're not the main attraction here. The parents are.
Like the parents and their need to get wasty. Yes. I just, my hair is being blown back with some of the fun shit people are telling me about this restaurant. So we might have to do a tiny little mini revisit.
Oh, God, absolutely. Like, I'm happy to start leaning into, like, very specific restaurants for TGI Fridays and Olive Garden. That, I mean, I know we've done, like, a little, you know, little deeper on Olive Garden, but there's all sorts of very nuanced restaurants that are still kicking and RIP'd, you know what I mean? That probably need a little bit of diving into. Which
I think, if we do a little preliminary research, we can figure out, like, is this a 15-minute episode that can be like an add-on, or is this like worthy of a whole, you know, 45 to an hour sort of situation? So we'll look into that.
I'm totally into it.
Awesome. Well, we have a few headlines before we get into part two with our guest Sumi, who was talking about, I think she was just ramping up and getting into the meat of the interview, which is talking about this unicorn of jobs of all jobs, which is being a unionized banquet server.
Oh my God. I know.
Sounds simple, but it's amazing. So you're about to have your wig blown back.
So much wig blowing this.
Yes.
This episode. I'm getting my wig blown. You're getting a wig blown. I last week actually had my wig blown out at a salon. It's the wig's typed to my head. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right. First headline, Brooke. Go for it.
Okay, so this is super ridiculous and fun, only in the Netherlands. Basically, the franchise of Domino's Pizza in the Netherlands, you know, in Amsterdam. Picture it. They offered up a brand new hangover menu only available in the Netherlands, my home country, which includes hangover loaded fries, the new hangover pizza and hangover sandwich, And to me, I'm already sitting here at, saying to myself, but a Domino's pizza
is hangover is, food.
Like, it's so good. Uh-huh. Like a cracker crust, greasy mm-hmm. ass, cut mm-hmm. into like 25 squares. I will eat all 20 fucking five in a sitting. No problem. But it's really funny because they just have to keep those Dutch traditions alive. And so we need to go sometime together. I've been multiple times, yeah. But it's shawarma is big. Like the yes. Dutch are not a celebrated food. And so there are, you know, the street food is what you kind of crave and go and eat, which is like halal carts. And it's a lot of lamb shawarma mm-hmm. with yummy, yummy mayonnaise and white sauce.
Nice
and
little all the drizzles. Doner kebab with delicious fries and a yummy, absolutely. Yummy dipping sauce. A friend of mine, Ann Kavanaugh, actually opened, who waited tables and bartended forever, opened up a place in Omaha called Amsterdam Falafel. That's actually like absolutely delicious as an homage to her time in in the Netherlands.
That's crazy and fun because you're like, okay, everybody just appropriate falafel, but fuck it. Because Amsterdam does it their own way and I get it. It's Amsterdam style falafel, which mm-hmm. is delicious. You're drunk. You can't find anything normal to mm-mm. eat and you got to find something. So you grow to love these creature comforts when you're mm-hmm. in Amsterdam and around. So of course their hangover loaded fries are topped with mozzarella, onion, bell pepper, of course your chicken kebab, your shawarma, a drizzle of garlic sauce, and a little bit of harissa. So they're ooh. Totally serving up street vendor food. And the hangover pizza, again, totally.
It's the same thing on pizza.
And then their hangover sandwich, take a wild guess.
And a drizzle of harissa. Yeah.
On a long dip. Roll. So uh-huh. you can get it pointy, flat, or oblong.
Yeah.
The same fucking item.
I mean, I love it. I do think it's funny that like to lean into a hangover menu is hilarious. I mean, we all know that like Taco Bell does it, right? Like all they're doing is like leaning into like drunk food and like leaning into hangover food. Obviously you're like trying to get like the kids in there, right?
Of course.
The youngins. I do think it's hilarious that they had to be like, if you didn't think this was for hangovers before, now you do.
Mm-hmm. You had too many Amstels because we do not have Amstel Light. That is American. What we drink is Amstel and it is delicious. And actually, I've never been hungover in the Netherlands because wow. the shit's so good and pure. Like,
nice.
And that's me talking about guzzling beer, which would destroy me here. So
wow. That's
something.
That is something for sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, cut to like 40 something, Brooke, and maybe that would be
different. Yeah, that's going to be different. I mean, last time I was there, it was like my late 30s. And I was all over the place. And, you know, whenever I go, I love to have drinks wherever you could pop in somewhere and enjoy a bar. But the current day Brooke, who loves a Makers and Diet, would be hard pressed to find that in, you know, the Netherlands, methinks.
I mean, I can't even, like, it turns out I don't think I can handle sake anymore. And that's, like, supposed to be one thing that you're, like, not supposed to get a hangover from.
That's, I think, like, your gut problems, maybe, just barking at you.
No. It's not my gut. It's my head.
Headachey, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm saying. No, the gut problems are fine right now, actually. My gut.
Good.
My gut is strong.
I'm going to go ahead and give you a... The gut is strong.
Yay!
You get a book of bell. She's back, baby.
I mean, I've been healed. I've been feeling it for a while. Like, yeah, I'm drinking a little coffee again, you know? Like, What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Okay, I'll tell you what you're gonna do. If you go to a a hotel chain in Toronto, this next headline.
Such a segue.
So it's the Hilton in Toronto. That's Hilton Toronto Airport Hotel and Suites.
Okay,
so a traveling individual basically from the US got more than they bargained for when they ordered a medium cheeseburger at the local Hilton Toronto Hotel restaurant, when they ordered a medium, the server had to then present them with basically a disclaimer and a, like, what's the word you call it? Like a
waiver.
Like
a waiver.
A waiver. Yeah, not a disclaimer. They had to sign a waiver, signing away basically like, if you are sick in any way, because you want a burger that's cooked medium.
Because we cook ours well done at
We cook ours well done only.
And sweets at the airport in Toronto.
And I mean,
whoa.
I mean, he just like, so the guy like, yeah, he like gets his burger and they gave him the waiver at the same time. He's like chewing it while he's like, what the fuck? And then like signing a waiver, totally lost his appetite because he's sort of like, how terrible is the quality of your meat that you have no faith in it even being cooked medium? Medium is child's play, baby.
I know. Medium's like standard, baby. That's like where they're like, well, our chef likes to cook it to medium. That's just what we do. Now, here's the thing. You could like zoom in. There's a photo right here that we should probably post that says, it's like, it's got a letterhead. It's not like someone was just like, you know, like this looks like it's in a file that's probably like by the time clock or it's in the manager's office way back in the bowels of the kitchen. And you can probably just go and grab one willy-nilly as you need it, because obviously this probably happens a lot, especially it being like an airport hotel. You would think this kind of thing probably gets asked for a lot, but obviously wouldn't, as I would, this gentleman who then had to sign it starts to question the legitimacy. Thank you. The you legitimacy of the quality of the meat and the food itself being served here.
Guest hereby waives and releases any rights, actions, or claims against Hilton Toronto Airport Hotel and Suites, its subsidiaries and affiliates for any liabilities and damages, including any foodborne illness and death arising out of or in connection with guests' use of its own food or consumption of products not provided by Hilton Toronto Airport.
Yeah.
Like, that's something you have to sign because you want a burger cooked medium?
No!
I mean, first it was children wearing helmets when they ride their bike, and now this. What is the world?
I've never, ever, 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 ever have I heard of this ever happening. So
I downloaded that photo, and we'll talk about it. We'll put it on the social media. Brilliant stuff. And again, we're waiting for you guys to, we know you're going to come through with some server submitted stories. We feel everyone waking up. We're all waking up. It's already been a slow January. No.
Oh my God. January's over when you're hearing this. So
exactly.
That's the point.
Feel inspired. I feel like I've been sitting down to finally like take care of just even like writing has felt like a task. So I feel you writing us a letter and any of that stuff. Like, hopefully you get inspired. It's the age of Aquarius right now. We're in Aquarius season. But yeah, if you guys do have anything you want to send us so we can read more than just goofy headlines, you know where to send it. Andrea,
sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want to talk with you, Sumi. We want to talk with you a little bit at the hotel. Obviously, this is a union position, so your benefits at this point have to be pretty wild, right? Pretty good.
Well, yeah, I don't... You mean like medical and dental?
Yeah.
What's crazy is I never got off. I've chosen to stay on the hotel benefits just because, I make enough hours to keep those benefits. I mean, the problem with the benefits is that because we don't work full time and benefits are based on how many hours you work, it can be a struggle to keep those hours. I mean, if it was just based on pay, it's sort of ridiculous. I mean, I'm not at quite six figures, but I make kind of close to six figures. But I average in 2022, 17 hours a week. And it might be, and that's for the whole year. So if you space that out, there might be fallow times where I'm not making enough hours to keep my benefits. So that's just having the banquets part. And there's people below me in seniority who just don't get benefits at all, and people above me who don't have to worry about it. But I'm in this weird spot where at least for certain quarters, I have to like sometimes use PTO. So I know that, yeah, this is long-winded saying that, like, yes, having a union, like, guarantees you certain benefits, and there is union health insurance. I don't choose to do it because with the hotel benefits, I can get a PPO, and I like doing that. But I pay, and this, I think, and this is having a, and so without the union, this is why I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk trash about the hotel at all either, because I really appreciate them. They kept my health insurance over COVID. And so I never had to, maybe I paid a little bit, but it's basically around $4 a week for me to have health insurance. Wow. And then dental is like $3 or something a week. Wow. And it's really ridiculous what working for a corporation, even because of their big health insurance funds, it's kind of like they're small countries within the US.
Right.
And why people don't want to get rid of them, because sometimes they can be there. It is pretty amazing sometimes compared to what you can get otherwise. So that's a little, I don't know if that's in the weeds, but yeah, I wanted to keep the PPO because then I could go to talk therapy. And which you can't.
I mean, look, to have options is beautiful. The fact that you have those options is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, and other benefits, you know, we've had our buddy Mike Langley on, you know, because he worked for another hotel for years and years. And the travel benefits alone, right? You being able to travel the world and get rooms at discounted rates.
Yeah, those benefits, the hotel. And, you know, you guys can get my friend benefits. I tell people that, but there might be, you know, benefits for friends. If you look on that, just let me know.
Can I just call it friends with benefits? I hope they call it friends with benefits.
Absolutely.
They've gotten a little, I don't know, maybe they've gotten, well, we complain about it, like it's not as good as it used to be or something. But yeah, I stayed in Istanbul at a top hotel. I guess I'm not supposed to say the hotel.
Yeah,
but it's
right,
like,
right.
Let's say it's like a top hotel where, you know, there's baklava on your pillow when you show up, and it's just like, but in Istanbul, and it was like for 60 euros. And like, those are just some certain experiences that are, you know, that was 20.
That's why you brought up, that's why all that Turkish delight got brought
home. Oh, right. Yes, you helped me. I know. I need to go back. I need more. for our Narnian fantasies of what real Turkish delight is like.
Please.
The more you keep talking about this job, I'm like, it is like a fantasy. Like, legend has it, there was a job in Los Angeles.
And what's crazy, so even just this week, so what's crazy is we've had, we were you know, hotels are striking in LA. For,
yeah.
You know,
Great segue. I was going to go there.
Part of the hot labor summer. We recently settled, so we don't have to do that anymore. But yeah, the other day, because we have a group in town that's just demanding, and one of the managers was crying because they asked her to stay till, you know, that she had been there since 4 a.m. and they wanted her to stay till 10, you know, that she couldn't go home, and she was crying because she didn't feel like she could say no. And these two servers that I work with were talking about it, and they were just they were just like, well, she isn't standing up for herself. She doesn't know that she can say no. And I said, guys, and these two had scabbed. They had scabbed. So they get all the union benefits, but they don't believe in it because, you know, they're just, I don't know. There's a lot going on. But I was like, you guys, she actually might not be able to say no. She's not in the union. Like, you realize, just remember that we live in a bubble in this job. We live in a bubble where we get to, like, and we talk about it at the job, like, but I'd have to remind them, and they just nodded because they just, and I'm like, we have to be grateful that we can always say no. And I just want you to see, like, I know that you have problems with the union and you don't agree with everything that they're doing, but know that this is why you are not in her position. And yes, maybe she could say no and nothing will happen, but maybe she won't get promoted. Maybe people will think that she doesn't handle pressure well or isn't a team player, and that affects her career. She just doesn't know. It's always just a black box. What's on the other side of you not being a slave to your corporation? And people don't know that. And that's what life is outside of a union, which is where most Americans live, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And so people have, and so they did assess, and I do think sometimes having these conversations with, you know, people in the union who are not, they're not pro union because, you know, everybody complains all the time about everything, that it can somehow just at least help them be grateful for what they have.
Wow. I mean, we talk about, and I could talk at nauseam about this, like, tethered utopia you keep describing to all of us, you know, but, like, at the end of the day, you're still serving, right? And you're still, there's still, like, the same gripes and the same silliness that, like, I think everybody experiences. So, like, especially with catering. So, like, you know, I think it'd be fun to be like, what are your biggest pet peeves, right, Brooke? Just about, like,
that
the job.
And just the predictability of how someone's going to act when you're doing your job. And just, you get the same probably version of pet peeves that we get with customers just in a catered banquet world.
Well, I mean, I can think of pet peeves that I have sometimes. Like, a pet peeve is, so we carry big banquet trays and with lots of stuff on it. So if ever I'm like walking with a big tray of dishes, and just when someone looks at me to hand me something else or to ask me a question while I'm carrying like 50 pounds, because, you know, a lot of times when that is one aspect of the job, is there is a lot of heavy weighted things that you do have to carry. Some people get away with it by pushing carts. They're just like, like, they never want to, you know, they stay there till they're like 75 years old trying to carry. And, you know, we look the other way, but, like, in general, you do have to kind of be strong and carry those anyway. So that sort of thing, you know, when I'm pouring water and someone, you know, it's like, if immediately just starts drinking it, so I can't pour. I mean, it's just silly stuff like that. But I really can't think of stuff, because the thing is, you can kind of walk away. We're not dependent on their tips. They don't sign a tip for us. Like, it's just included in the bill, and then we get it in our paycheck. We don't deal with money. And I do try to be nice, like, because I do respect the job enough to give, you know, good service, good enough service, but it's not the same. It's so much less work than working at a restaurant job. And Yeah.
But I mean, if you were in charge of my table, I'm sure we would have fun still, you know, like I'm sure you're still getting to know your guests throughout the night, depending on like, you know, what the event is. Right.
Well, we can, but we're given, the thing is that we're given maybe 4 tables if we're lucky, sometimes 5 tables. Maybe there's a preset salad, there's preset, you know, but you're kind of, you have to move really quickly. Sometimes if it's a if it's a leisurely thing, you're not really getting to know people. You're not, it's not. And I like the aspect of getting to know, like that's fun for me, but it doesn't really happen so much at this job. I actually did last week. And I don't know if they like me or something, but they put me on the head table. I was so lucky. It's this huge dinner that we do every year for this convention it's a bunch of men who have, and then they're in tuxedos and stuff, and I was at the head table, which really was great because it's this nightmare dinner that we do where, because there's so many and you have to, and so I really loved
it. It's coursed and timed and
It's actually, they had the preset salad and the preset dessert. So all you're really doing is pouring wine and clearing salad and serving dinner. But it's just, it's really hard when it's a huge banquet function and there's like 100 tables, and say you're in the back in the middle and you can't get through the tables, and it's really tight.
Sure.
It's just really tight. And so you have to clear all the salads, get all the food out, take the food away, pour the coffee. Like it's just... So you aren't really...
It's like you have to like hold your breath and like hope for the best. Yeah. Get in there.
And I don't know. I somehow always look out on this. And I got... So maybe they just thought, you know, because of my running, I can go up the stairs on the stage where the... But so I got to serve only 13 people by myself. It was a dream. And so I did get to talk to them and get to know them. And then they would slip me my... Because... they slip me tips, which is laughable to me because we don't get paid tips and money. But it's like when they do the, like you're at a hotel and you get slipped money. It's cute. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. But that's, I normally don't get that because there isn't the time to have those relationships. So I actually did do it last week because I had so few people to serve. So generally, that is the, like, it's kind of a cattle herding. You're like, you're just getting the food in, getting it out, try to have some connection, but there really isn't always time.
Yeah. I think it just finally, it dawned on me because obviously in a restaurant in general, the evening or the day is paced, you know, it's people come in when they want to, or there might be a wait where the thing with catering and banquet, everyone sits down and everyone is trying, you're trying to feed the whole room at the exact same minute. So it's really chaotic. I did kind of revisit and relearn that the hardest parts are kind of like the middle, and then it's just easy breezy after that, you know? Whereas like you can just get continuously slammed, and the nightmare and being in the weeds as a server could go on all fucking night.
Yes.
For all of your tables at your turn. And there's something where it gets really hairy and crazy while you're catering, but then it's done, and it's contractually done because that's all they fucking paid for. No, you can't have anything else. We're putting it away because we're only hired for this many hours. And yeah, that whole feeling of literally being like, I'm done, and I wish I could help you, but I can't.
Even on an audio level, right? I'm like thinking you like know what part of the game you're in by an audio level of the room. You know when people come in and sit, to when the clinking of like the plates when they're eating their dinner, to like this like quieting down when you're clearing, to like, you know, it's got to be an interesting flow like that.
Well, one interesting aspect is that with a big group like that, you really get a sense of the character of a group of people. Like, you know, we'll have a chamber of commerce of a town, you know, like the LA, we'll have a bunch of lawyers, a bunch of, you know, medical professionals, like, and it's just sort of, you know, we'll have a holiday party for a cruise line or something. And I think that is an interesting aspect because you are just dealing with a group of people and it isn't so individualized or I find it interesting to get a real hit of the character of a group and wow, what was it like to serve, like, yeah, like lawyers, for instance, like at lunch, they're there to work and they're kind of no fuss. Maybe at dinner, if they're doing a fancy dinner, they might be a little more demanding, but it's kind of, you can see that like they're professionals and they don't care if it's if about the food so much. And they're just, I don't know. They don't cause you a lot of trouble. Whereas if you're serving a sorority of, you know, a meeting of 55-year-old women, your whole time is just going to be spent getting honey and lemon for their tea. Uh-huh. And you don't have time to bring, you know, extra ranch for their salad. Like, and it's just constantly being asked, you know, everybody's really needy. I mean, we've had sorority groups bring their own medical staff, like, just, I don't know.
Because what happened last year.
Yeah. I shouldn't say more, but it's just like, it's sort of like, okay, we'll stop. Stop asking for more sugar, like maybe, like, because it's just writ large on a, you know, the scale of like thousands of people who are kind of in the same headspace of like,
yeah,
that they absolutely come together.
I mean, that leads us into like any like very memorable stories off the top of your head, you know, that you'd maybe like to share.
Oh my God. The craziest thing is that the story that I would think of, I wasn't even there for. I went back to Chicago in 2010 to get my things out of storage for this 1 week just randomly. And when I came back, everyone said they had the worst week of their lives. It was for this church group. And
why is it always the churchies?
Yeah, it was this church group that came that was given some contract where they paid like literally nothing for all of the food. So the tip that week was pretty bad. They literally ran the hotel out of white sugar and ranch dressing. And there was like, they were just, everybody was run ragged. It was also maybe a cult. Like they would wear the same color every day. And there was a queen, I think, who they would.
Uh-oh. Mother God.
I think.
Ascending.
Yeah. I think one of the members just grabbed the whole chafer of bacon and brought it, like took it out of the chafing dish. And then and just plopped it on one of their tables so they could just eat a big pile of bacon.
So they just had never experienced a hotel or anything like this.
No,
before,
maybe they had.
Like.
Maybe they had, and they were just like, they just felt.
They're just like, here's how you do it. There's always more. There's always more bacon.
Yeah,
right, they'll bring more.
Yeah, this was in 2010. But people still talk about it, like with like their eyes glaze over, and I just think that's really funny that I just randomly happened to miss it.
Such a so baller move, though, just to be like, I'll take this, and like,
yeah,
what is it happen?
Yeah,
and then that person's like the hero of that table, also.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. But they would also they had a lot of. What are those? The jazzies or the little, like, what are they called? They aren't wheelchairs, but they motorized scooters.
Oh, like scooters. A rascal? Like
yeah,
a little rascal?
And they had so many rascals and they would just.
It's like you were the revival tent for the week, right? You were the hotel was the tent.
The hotel was, yeah.
If you will.
Yeah. But that's just sort of, you know, things like that. But sometimes when we get a sense, I mean, from now on, like, because we've been working there for this long, like seasoned servers just call off those days. Like we just know this is not going, even if the money isn't worth it, like to come that day. Cause
love that.
It's cause even if it's $100 an hour, which is a lot of times what we make now, and that's where we're at. It's not worth it, because you're just beaten up. Like, I'm just saying, ask, like, for the honey, for the getting yelled at because your food's not there. And it's just because, yeah, there's just some groups can be very demanding, and and we just decide, yeah, okay, not worth it.
No,
but yeah, but I guess in 2010 awesome. they didn't know then.
It's a different world.
First time for everything.
Yeah, first time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, God, Sumi, what an education we've gotten today, huh, Brooke? Jesus. Like, what, I mean, well, I would also, you know, yeah.
If I want to leave with anything, I think what my job tells me and I'm informed on is just how much corporations really can afford to pay and how much they're not paying. Because if I and my coworkers, who they're not the best of the best, they're not, like, I would say the workers, the servers at Castaway were some of the best servers I've been around, and they, you know, were basically shit on by management. But I'm just saying, if they can afford to pay what they're paying, it just says a lot about the whole corporate structure of, like, what people are paid and how much gives there is actually in the labor versus capital battle that we have
right
in this mm-hmm. in this hyper capitalized country that is ever increasing, and union membership has been going down. It's even though we've had some wins, it still is going down. And it just how we're propagandized to think that unions are bad in this country, when really it's just about having a, like our lives are just, they want slavery. Like, I really think mm-hmm. that's true. They, like, it's just, that's the angle, because capital is just its own machine where, like, to succeed, it just has to create more, and it's just outside of human thought, or just like, oh, do we live in a society? And so I just, if there's one takeaway, yes, this is this quote fantasy job, but to me it's just very obvious that, like, they can afford they can afford to do this, and the only reason that I have it is because a union fought for it before I was ever a part of it. And, you know, I'm never gonna be ashamed.
You're never gonna leave.
Yeah, I'm never gonna leave.
I mean, it is really interesting. It is interesting to say, like, look, these are lifelong jobs people can have, and you're happy, and it's, yeah, and you're satisfied, and you can live, and you can pay, and it is going to be, you know, I mentioned it earlier with the minimum wage going up to 20 an hour in California and LA across the board, that this is going to be almost like an experiment in capitalism, to say, like, you know, the higher the wage, to see how it's going to crumble businesses and crumble, you know, the effect it's going to have, and how, you know, it's going to be a wild year, I think, for the industry in general, in at least in this state and in this city, you know?
Yeah.
So.
No, we need to make more, you know, and I guess there is, like, just the whole debate about tip workers and, like, what that means, you know, that's a whole other story, but just
absolutely, you know, which is just in one big experiment that's gone on for way too long, you know, in many ways. But yeah, I mean, it is just, what a breath of fresh air to see this side of the industry and know that it's, you know, it's possible. It is out there.
It's possible.
It
but
exists.
It exists. And they don't want people to know about it, and I'm just, I hope people know about it and know what's possible, and then really just, like, I think labor and unionizing is the way. It's just, you know, it's a hard uphill climb, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I even remember back 8 years ago when you tried to get me in on the spa side over there and how difficult that was. You know, these are not easy jobs to get, you know.
Yeah, and I don't even know if this, I think the spa joined the union. I don't even know if they were, like, so it's just there are even groups in the hotel that hadn't joined the union, but then they finally, I think they finally did and they saw the benefit of it. But it's just, yeah, I lucked into it. I didn't know about it. And then I'm just here to tell about it. I haven't done the math for the past year, but 2022, I averaged 17 hours a week. And around $100 an hour with all the benefits.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, if there's anybody that should have a job like this, Sumi, it's you, because you are an advocate and a fighter for justice and what is right in this world. And so I feel like it's like, of course you have a job like this, you know?
I'm just lucky. I can't. Thank you. I want, but I also,
I mean, yeah, I think it probably keeps you humble and fighting harder for everybody, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the important thing too is you came on our podcast so that the word is out so that we do this podcast to teach our listeners who have restaurant jobs that they either despise or love and to give them knowledge that they could go look for something that they had no idea was this good, you know? And that's just what we want for people who listen to the pod.
Right. Right. Hopefully.
Anyway. This was a great talk. Really, you blew our mind.
Yeah.
And we're excited to share this episode with everybody. So we'll wrap up for today. And you know what we say at the end of every episode, Andrea?
Oh, we say Godspeed.
And good tips.
And good tips.
Get them golden handcuffs.
Golden handcuffs.
Thanks for joining us, Sumi.
Thank you both for having me. It's been a joy.
Sorry, I was like, we're all going to keep talking, so I just had to do an official wrap up. You know?
Yay! So, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.